have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Amen, amen. Welcome back, everybody. This is Minister Cedric on Elation Radio. Coming back with our relentless pursuit this evening. This is Good Friday, April the 7th, 2023. Sister Kimmy, I wanted to say hello. Jason, you on with me right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. How you doing today?
All right. I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. Man, today's been such a great day, but I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, you know what? Today's a great day. Today's a great day because, you know, we call it Good Friday, Good Friday. It's that Friday before Resurrection Sunday. Man, Jason, you know, before we even get started, man, I just want to say I am so thankful today. So thankful. Nothing but great things going on. I feel better today than I felt in a long time, and I'm just loving life. So I'm just loving God for just loving on me. So I'm going to do it like that. I'm going to spread the love to everybody I come in contact with, right?
Yes, sir.
But, that's some good stuff. I will tell you, I was sitting back and I was thinking, I know you and I talk a little bit, but I was sitting back and I was thinking, like, man, you know what? I had a question. And the question is because, and it's funny because you and I were talking today, but I got a question from a friend on Thursday, because they do the Monday, Thursdays. They say Monday, but I say Monday. Monday, Thursday. And she was asking me what that was about. It just really kind of got me thinking. And today, it got me thinking because we've got a lot to be thankful for. And I started thinking about what if there was no Good Friday. And then I started thinking, like, well, we couldn't have a resurrection without a death. So the question came to me. And the question that came to me was a simple one. This, and it was, how to go. What's the difference, or what difference does it make whether it's Good Friday or Easter Sunday? I want to start off with just that one question. I want us to answer. We can hold on to the answer to the end, but I want to talk about that. What difference does it make whether it's Good Friday or Easter Sunday? Because that, to me, that's important. Because now, when you say, Jason, that we're talking about two separate things, right? We're not talking about the same, one and the same. Am I right? Two different events.
That is
right?
Correct. They are two separate things.
Yes, yes, and that's for me, that's significant because when I think of Good Friday, think the first thing that comes to my mind, I ask the question, why we call it Good Friday? Because the very first thing that happens was Jesus, and we know who Jesus is. He's the Lamb of God, right? You know, we say he was God manifest in the flesh, but the flesh dies on what we call Good Friday. And so when I think of Good Friday, I think of a representation of everything awful, everything bad, everything negative in all of our lives. That's what I think about when I think of Good Friday, when I just think of Good Friday. So what's so good about it, Jason? I mean, help me understand.
So for me,
I don't want to talk about it. I just want to have a chat about it.
Yeah, so for me, Good Friday is good because it represents my Christ's sacrifice, dying on the cross as atonement for my sins. And the beautiful thing is, when you think about that, I can say Christ died for my sins here in 2023, even though it happened 2,000 years ago. And that's what's good about Good Friday to me, is that there was a sacrifice made even before I was born as part of the redemptive plan of God. So Good Friday for me is about that sacrifice. It's about Christ's death on this day as a sacrifice for the sins that the men created back then, and the sins that they had, for people who hadn't even been thought of. So that's what makes Good Friday really good.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. Because Good Friday. Man, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to go too deep. I was thinking about the lamb. I got the lamb stuck in my head, and I'm thinking about the Passover. I'm going all the way back to Exodus. But okay, on Good Friday. So let's talk about what led up to Good Friday. You know, let's talk about what led up to Good Friday, because I get questions about this sort of thing, and I try not to be super deep and spiritual, holier than thou. You know, I have issues, right? But when I think of Good Friday, I'm thinking of the day of Jesus' death. And remember what I said before. To me, Good Friday represents everything bad that has happened, right? Because when we look in the Bible says that the Lord Jesus died at the time of Passover. You remember that? Remember that from Exodus 12?
Yes.
It talks, he died at the time of Passover. And now we're talking about where, you know, when you think about that, we're talking about the Jewish people, and the Passover is that festival that they celebrated, that commemorated their redemption, right? It commemorated the fact that they were released out of Egypt by the blood of a sacrificial lamb. That's what Exodus 12 talks to us about. And so when you think about Good Friday in itself, right, it's a testimony in itself about God being sovereign, his control over our history, right? Right, because it was when you think about it, when you go back and you look about it, the religious leaders back then, they wanted to kill him off earlier. They didn't want him to die when he died. They wanted to do it long before, you know, and God is in control of all of that. So I'm saying all this to go back because I want to know the significance of Good Friday. And for me, Good Friday, yes, I told you that it represents everything negative that has ever happened, but also it represents that sacrificial lamb, the sacrifice, you know? And that's the thing. That's the thing for me. Because think about this. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but there was a time when the Jewish leaders, what they wanted to do was that they didn't even want Jesus put to death, right? And that was because it was at Passover. So
right.
and so what they did, you know, God didn't allow it. So what happened was they didn't want to do it in order to avoid a riot, right? They was gonna have this big problem because when you look at Mark 14, I think it's Mark 14 and 2, you find that it was gonna be a riot. They thought it was gonna be some problems, right? They're like, if we do this now, we're gonna have some problems, right? But God had a purpose. God had a purpose. God's purpose was Jesus had to. He had to be crucified. He had to fit the physical body, had to die. I like to say it that way. It had to happen during Passover because we go back again because Jesus himself was the ultimate Passover lamb. He's the ultimate sacrificial lamb. He sacrificed his only begotten son for our sins. And when I start thinking about it like that, Jason, I start thinking about it like that, I start thinking, well, maybe Good Friday was a great Friday. Huh? Maybe it was not just a good Friday. It was a great Friday because he had to die. His body had to die during the Passover because it symbolized, again, if you go back and match this up with Exodus 12, you'll find that they were released and they celebrated the Passover because they were freed from bondage in Egypt. Jesus dying on the cross freed us from bondage right here in this world. That's a beautiful thing to me.
I think that's
awesome. That's a beautiful thing to me.
Yeah, that's an awesome thing because unlike what the Israelites faced, being bonded by a man, by a group of people, the Egyptians and the evil Pharaoh, our bondage actually came from within us, from our own sinful nature, our nature that opposes the things that God wants us to do and pulls us more and more into our own selfishness and our own self-centeredness. So to know that you've been released and we've been saved from our own selves is even greater, right? Because it's easy to save somebody from someone else, but how do you save somebody from themselves, right? And when you think about it on that line, if you think about it on that, It does make Good Friday look great. And for me, another part that makes Good Friday even better is to know that God had a plan, right? God had a plan, you know, a plan to redeem humanity. And it was his son, Jesus Christ, that plan was going to be exercised and fulfilled through.
And Good Friday was part of that plan. And like I said earlier, that plan wasn't just for the men and the women in the time that Jesus walked the earth. It wasn't just for them. It was for me. 2023 years later, here I am being the beneficiary of that plan that our God created. So when you talk about good to great, that's a way to move from good to great, to know that the plan that was laid out 2,000 years ago that was exercised and fulfilled 2,000 years ago, I still get the benefit of that, right? I still get the benefit of that. And then for me to know that my son, my daughters, my wife, my grandkids gets the benefit of that plan. You talk about Good Friday, I think you're right. Maybe we need to start calling this Great Friday.
I know, because it makes perfect sense when you really look at it like that. Because I mean, so many times, like when I was growing up, Good Friday to me was, man, we're going to eat good. You know, my mama,
right.
Mama going to hook us up. Yeah, we're going to have to go sit in church.
You're going to have a good-looking suit on, right? Yeah.
Nah, I'm going to throw my mask on. I'm going to be able to go shop, but I'm going to get some cheap Kmart shoes, but they're going to look good because my daddy going to make sure I got shoe polish, right? Right? The shoes may be plastic, but if you put enough polish on them, you can make that plastic shine. Look, almost look like patent leather. That's in case y'all didn't know, that's what happened when you polish up them plastic shoes from Kmart. That's not around anymore. But anyway, and so with all of that, and we're talking about what's good with that, you know, when I used to think about it, I used to really, when I was a kid, I used to think about it, or when I was just younger in ministry, I used to think about how we keep calling it Good Friday. You remember that when you think about it, I'm just sitting here thinking for a second, but when you think about the followers of Christ at that time, because most people don't understand that there were no such thing as a Christian back then, they were just Christ followers, right?
Right.
And they followed that prophet named Jesus, right? But his followers, they understood, they knew that this is what he had talked to the disciples about and all the people about. Well, the disciples for sure, but they knew that once Jesus rose from the dead, right, they could see that Jesus rising from the dead was part of God's plan. And we can find that in Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, the book of Luke, and the book of Acts. I don't remember the chapter in Acts, but it talks about that. So when I started thinking about Good Friday, and I started thinking about why they call it Good Friday, and like you, Jason, I think we should call it Great Friday, was that death in itself did not stop anything. See, when you think of Good Friday, it's the way I used to think about it, because I said he died, but when you think about it, death did not defeat God's servant. What did it do? What did the death of Jesus do? It fulfilled Jesus's mission here on earth.
Right.
Huh?
That redemptive mission, that mission to save us. And I think people forget, you know, what do I need to be saved from? Right? And we talked about this a second ago. We got to be saved from ourselves.
Yeah.
What do you mean to be saved from ourselves? We got to be saved from our sinful nature. Right. And it's always, you know, when we read the stories of the Bible and we read about like the Adam and Eve, the Davids, the Solomons, everybody would say like, I would never do that. Oh no, I wouldn't never go against God. But we forget we do it every day. I mean, sometimes in our moments, right? When we put things before God, when we operate in our flesh, when we operate in our sense of satisfying ourselves. That's the same thing that they did, right? And to know that we serve a God that doesn't expect us to be perfect, but says, you know what, I love you enough that I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to send you a sacrifice. And if you think about like back in the day when, you know, the followers of Christ, they were used to taking all this laborious thing to get that atonement, to get that forgiveness. I had to go out there and get a goat, get a cow, get a livestock, get something that was near and dear to me, the best of what I had.
Yeah.
And then I had to go through a process of cleansing this offering, this sacrificial offering, and then I had to take the labor of actually destroying it, of killing it, and then burning it, and then offering it as a sacrifice, and then go to the priest and have them do the same thing for me. It was such a laborious thing that we had to go through, but it was well worth it because it gave us the forgiveness of God. But the beautiful thing is, our God loved us so much. He's like, I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to take that burden off of you. I'm going to take that labor off of you, and I'm going to do the sacrifice in your stead. And when Christ died on the cross for you and me, and the sins that are in us, you know, not just sins back then, but the sins that we do today, and the sins we're going to do tomorrow. That was God saying, I'm making a sacrifice to say, I have already forgiven you of that sin. You know, so Good Friday represents that sacrifice. It represents, you know, Christ serving in that role as the sacrificial lamb to say, like, you know what, God, these men, these children that you love have sinned against you. Let me be the sacrifice to atone for that sin. And to me, that is the good part of Good Friday. Is that I no longer have to go through those labors. I no longer have to go through those things, those actions, those rituals, you know, to get God's forgiveness. He's already done it for me, right? He's already taken that burden off my shoulder to say, like, I am going to offer the sacrifice, and Jesus accepted that burden and says, I will be that sacrifice. So that death on Friday represents that sacrifice.
You know, it's funny what you just said. I know, because we're talking about the forgiveness. But think about this. Why do you think Jesus cried out just before his death? What did he say? He said, it is finished.
Right? Yes.
And it's finished. So, like you were talking about forgiveness and things like that. Think about this. When you go into I think it's 1 Corinthians, it says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That was such a good message because when Paul wrote that, when Paul talked about that in the Gospels, when Paul did that, you got to think that simply means good news. Right? When you say Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that is the good news. Because the good news is, look, he died, but he died for our sins.
Yeah.
And that's what I was always missing. And he didn't just die for our sins because he wanted to. He died according to the scriptures. And I'm saying to myself now today, I'm sitting here and I'm looking kind of crazy, but I'm saying, wow, this is a great day. I'm excited.
It's an exciting day.
Yeah,
it's definitely an exciting day. Yeah,
no
because
more.
I think that sacrifice, you know, dying, like you said, when you die for those sins, we have to understand, right, just before we go a little further, we have to understand the wages of those sins, right? The wages of those sins is separation from God, right? And we all have had good times. We've been around people that we really enjoy being around. Now multiply that by a million, and that's what it means. That was mean to be in the presence of God, and our sin separates us from that. It allows us. It would prohibit us from having one of the greatest things that we've been given. And so that sacrifice, although it seems just ambiguous, we die for our sins, but understand what those wages of sin are, right? Talk about death, it's not just a physical death, right? Physical death is the easy part. It's that internal separation from God, that know that you are not in the presence of God and you will never be in his presence and he is no longer with you. And you are in whatever circumstance and situation that you're in, without God, right? That's real hell, right? That is real hell. And to know that that's what that sacrifice was for, right?
when we talk about saving from our sins, to understand, like, people don't understand what the wages of sin is.
They don't, because think about this. If you think about this right there, you think about Jesus being on the cross. He's hanging. He hung there and he died. Think about this. I believe in 1 Peter it talks about he suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So what God did in that moment was he demonstrated the great love he has for us. Well, how did he do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. God was demonstrating this great love he had for allowing his son to be crucified for his own love towards us. And I believe the scripture says his own love toward us in that while we still were sinners for us. When you talked a moment ago, Jason, about us having to go out and give an offering and do this burnt sacrifice and how laborious it was, how is it that today, when we don't even have to do all of that, some of us find it impossible to pay homage to God? Some of us find it impossible to forgive one another. Some of us forget why Jesus had to die the way he did. See, I get stuck right there when I start talking about Easter Sunday, because a lot of people aren't thankful, like we were just talking about. I'm thankful. I was thankful for the suits, for the clothes, for the food that we were going to get because it was Easter Sunday. I'm thankful, but I think that we have to be thankful for everything that Christ did for us. And I think it's important to understand, because I meet a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. I meet a lot of people who say, well, the Bible never says Good Friday. It doesn't. It doesn't. But in our English language, right, the word was Good Friday. I'm not even going to break it down from I'm not going to go out to the Middle East and all. I'm not going to the different forms. But what I want to say, because I'm getting sidetracked, but what I want to say is that was a reason this had to happen. And I think the term Good Friday is good. And the reason I think it's a really good thing is because it gives us a sense of holiness, that holiness that we have. And I think that we've got to really, really start to grab hold of that, because, you know, this is a big deal. I think it's a big deal. And when I go back and I think about how Jesus' death fulfilled all the scriptures, and it wasn't for a selfish reason. It was for us. He is the bridge from sin to God, and without him, there would be no forgiveness. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I thinking about this the wrong way?
No, you're absolutely correct. Without Christ and that sacrifice, there is no forgiveness. There is no atonement, right? And we will constantly be living in that sin that eternally separates us.
Yeah. Because I think in the scriptures, when we read Psalm 22, where it talks about it, it says, Psalm 20, 21, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I like to imagine in my head that there was a darkness that covered the land for the final few hours of Jesus suffering on the cross, right? And I like to think that in that darkness was when he transcended, right, and that's when this I'm gonna call it an otherness. That's when this other side, his works became at that point a complete work, right? And this again, I use the term otherness because I don't know another word. That's what he used to lead us to worship him, right? How did he do it? You know, how did he do it? He allowed his son to bear all of our sins all at once. It's not like he had to go do it 20 times. All at once, our past transgressions, our future transgressions are now being atoned for. Man, I'm telling you, for me, that's a really, really, really wonderful thing. But I don't want to get stuck right there longer because I can stay right there forever. But I want to jump on the other side of that though, Jason, because now we talk. I was just talking about how when Jesus when he died, when he cried out, when the skies got dark and he was ascended up, right? We would forget all of our sins at that point, right? Can you imagine what that day was like? But that was a great day, a good Friday. But what happened next? See, one of the good things about Good Friday is we could not have Easter without Good Friday. Am I right?
Right. Right.
We can't. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, how am I gonna say it? Think about this. Without Good Friday, we could not have Easter Sunday. So if there's no Resurrection Sunday, I mean, I guess Good Friday would have been a catastrophe. It would have been the way I thought about it. You know, it would have been horrible. So, what I'm going to ask you, Jason, I'm going to ask you to explain it, because now all of a sudden my mind, I just drew a blank. I gotta get back in the focus here. But after Good Friday, what was the next step? What was the next thing that happened? You mentioned before we had two events going on here. So what was the next step? What was the next thing when we got to Easter Sunday? What made it Easter Sunday, or what makes it Resurrection Sunday?
Just that, the resurrection, right? The fact that after Christ died, that he actually rose again, right? And he rose and he defeated death, right? Not just defeated death, but proved to everyone that he is the Son of God, right? And I think that's so important to realize that, you know, through that event, you know, not only did, you know, Christ, you know, defeat death, but he showed everybody that I am the Son of God, right? I am who I say I am. And that is such an amazing, amazing thing to have, right? To know that man, that this person who is Jesus Christ is not just a somebody. He is the somebody. So that resurrection, you know, was so great.
See on the resurrection, when you think about it, think about this. Let's go to a little build up.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is dead. Jesus is dead. What next thing? Next thing, when you jump into your Bible, next thing you start to realize is, okay, everybody's in mourning. Everybody's in mourning.
Right.
I got Mary and everybody, they kind of leave the trials. Everybody's in mourning. What happens when they go to the tomb where Christ is? Try and explain that to me.
Oh, so when they go to the tomb in all their solitude and all their sadness, they go and find the tomb empty, right? And Christ is not there, right? And you know, and Mary, I think it was Mary, and the women were the first to find him, and they ran home and just told him. It's like, hey, he's not there anymore. And the men went to go, you know, they went to go check and see what's going on. And I think at that point is when they, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is when they start to realize, oh, what he said is coming true.
Yes, sir. Think about this. I didn't give much of a background what happened before Good Friday. We know that before they came and arrested Jesus, he had already told them long before that he was going to be betrayed. That was Judas. He was betrayed. They arrested him. Peter was upset, chops off the ear. Jesus, even in the midst of his troubles, even in the midst of knowing what's about to happen to him, he heals the ear, right? He heals the soldier's ear. And then he says, he had already told Peter, hey, before the crow, the rooster will crow, you'll deny me three times. That happened.
Right.
Everything was a prophecy, and it had a place. It had a purpose. And we need to understand that everything we do here on earth, we have a purpose. It takes place because it has to happen. Why? Because God has ordained it to happen. So now they've gone to the tomb, and Jesus is not there. What? He ain't there. The prophecy is being fulfilled. There is so much more. When you think of the resurrection, if somebody comes to you, Jason, and says, so-and-so was dead, but he ain't dead no more, what would you say? What would you do? What would you do?
That's be like, what? What do you mean? Death is final, right? Death is it. There is no such thing as returning from death. It's the final thing. What are you talking about, right?
That's right. See, I got to say this again. The goodness of Christ's death, right, on that Friday, it couldn't have been a good Friday without Resurrection Sunday. He died Friday afternoon, and he was resurrected Sunday morning. You see, a lot of people who call themselves Christian, don't you understand? I need Christians to understand that the very basis of our faith, as a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say our whole Christian faith depends on Christ being raised from the dead. Because, see, if they went to the tomb and his body was still in the tomb, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought about what happened in Nazareth, it would have just been a tragic day. It would have just been another bad day. But because the tomb was empty, see, I see the resurrection as God's vindication of his son. God's stamp of approval for the work that Christ had done on the cross. You see what I'm saying? And I didn't make that up. You can go to Romans 1. You can go to Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 10 and you see it in there, right? Right? Look, this is a special Passover weekend, right? We had Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. And here with us, those two events have joined us, right? It was a joint declaration of God's good news for all of us, for all men and all women everywhere, because he was delivered, listen, for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 25. That's one of my favorite things to read when I think that the world is beating up on me, when I think about how I'm going through a hard time. You know, that's not what I talk about it. I don't talk about it much, but man, God has been so good to me. Oh, I do talk about that a lot, don't I? but Easter Sunday, this is going to be a time for us. Again, some of us, we mostly refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. I sometimes default back to Easter because that's what I grew up saying. I think it's a time for us to truly understand how that dark Friday, that gloomy day, was the precursor to the resurrection. Think about that. His physical body had to die in order that we have everlasting life through him. Think about that. That is something for me, Jason, that really rings true within me. because sometimes I just take things for granted. I do. I take things for granted. You know, but throughout history, our darkest hours, and a lot of us, when we have these tough situations, it's only by our faith a lot of times that we can get through it. Only by our faith sometimes when we say, okay, I've had enough, but I'm going to keep on going because. And it's not us that's going to keep on going. It's our faith keeps us going. God makes us whole, and God carries us through these situations. See, I think that's the biggest reason why Easter is important today.
Because right, it reinforces that faith. Right?
That's right.
That belief in that God. And like we spoke about so many times, about a God who had a plan for us even before we were born. And he executed that plan, right? And in that plan that he executed, it just offered redemption. It offered atonement. And then it offered defeat of death. And then ultimately to allow us an opportunity to be in relation with him, to the same God that created anything and everything, right? The same God that gives us the greatest joy we ever had, and we can't even imagine in our human understanding the bliss that we have to be in his presence, right? To know that he created this plan, he executed this plan, and in that execution we get an opportunity to be in his presence, right? The start of our faith starts right there. The belief that God did this for us, right? And because he loves us, it's the beginning of our faith. And you know, and it's in that faith that we grow closer to that God that we love, and we get to experience that bliss that he wants us to have.
Man, you know what else is good about that? You see, a lot of times on Easter, we're just celebrating. We're going out. We're looking at Sunday best. But here's what my challenge to everybody is right now. My challenge to everybody right now is to renew that faith in what Christ has already done for us. And what I mean by that is we stand up. I'm gonna go somewhere with this. We stand up because, how do I say it? When you look at what Jesus did, he took ordinary men, just some common characters. You know, we had fishermen like Andrew, Peter, James, right? Yeah, John. You know what I'm saying? When you look at Matthew, he was just a tax collector, and Simon was a zealot. You know what I'm saying? But he took common men, ordinary guys, right? And because the awesomeness of God, he put them there, his belief, and he got these men to trust and believe in him, the common man. These guys could be shaken at their very foundation at the sound of the wind blowing, at the waters of the seas changing, right? But Jesus believes in us. He believes that we can do it. Resurrection Sunday is a chance for us to dig deep, right? Dig deep. Let's renew our faith in Christ. Let's stand up, because I believe that Jesus believes, that God believes, that we can make a difference in the world we live in. You don't believe me? Just ordinary men. I just gave you some names that you can go back and look at. Men, ordinary men and women, because we ain't going to leave out Mary, and we ain't going to leave out all the women of the Bible either. But they made a difference. There's some things I want to, you know, questions come really rapidly at this point. But, Jason, I'm going to ask you. Jesus took these ordinary men, called them disciples, taught them the way, and they changed the world, right?
Right.
What you think about that? Do you think that could ever happen again? Do you think the Spirit of Christ could touch us in that way today?
Oh, yes, most definitely. And I think that's what makes Good Friday good, to know that the impact that those ordinary men
you know, with the touch of God became extraordinary. That same God is with us today, you know. And I want to go back to something you said. You talked about it's time for us to stand up. I think when we think yes. about Resurrection Sunday, you know, we think about, you know, Christ's resurrection. Well, the beautiful thing is we have the ability to resurrect ourselves and our true selves, you know, not this sinful nature that adorns us, but that forgiven self, that uplifted self that comes because of Christ's sacrifice. You know, it's time for us to resurrect our spirit, our love, our commitment, our faith in God, and then stand up and be like those ordinary men, right? To allow the Spirit of God to come over us, to follow follow the direction of Christ, you know, to let the Holy Spirit indwell within us and do those great things that Christ has called us to do and operate in that same capacity. So most definitely we have the ability to do what those great men do. And I would even say we have the opportunity to do it without knowing the physical presence of Christ, right? Which is a stronger testament of our faith to say, like, I never knew you, Christ. I was never lucky enough to be in your physical presence, but my faith allows me to operate like I was there and with the same trust and the same commitment and the same, you know, fervor that they operated in. So our ability to go out and be great is there for us. And I think, you know, once again, this is what makes this whole weekend so great. You know, it's just that whole plan and that whole just the execution of it and what it really means.
Yeah, I'm with you on that because I tell you, there was a time when we were at church and we were worshiping and our church was flowing. Everything was prospering, and we used to meet in our ministry ministry, and everything was just so prosperous. And it was like all we had to do, my pastor would get up and he would speak, and he would speak a prophetic word, and people would just grab hold to that word, because I'm telling you, it wasn't that he said it. It was that God used him to say it to who he needed to say it to, and that person, you could see a change over the weeks. You know what I'm saying? The months and the years, and there would be all these great things happening, but we keep living today like the resurrection never happened. We walk around defeated. We walk around with self-pity. We walk around doing all manner of things. We walk around as if Good Friday never happened. We sometimes look like Jesus is still on the cross. He's still being crucified. Nothing's going good. And I'm saying, for this year, 2023 is a beautiful year. God is resurrecting some things. I don't get this. He wants to bring us closer to him. It ain't about money. It ain't about material things. It ain't about you going out buying that car you want, having the house you want. No, it ain't even about you loving your family at that point. It's about you loving him and loving everybody around you the way that he's teaching us to love. And I'm telling me personally, when I think about the resurrection, that's where I like to go. It's a rebirth. It's a resurrected spirit within us that wants to do the will of God. We got so much stuff. You can't turn the TV on right now, Jason, and not find something super negative. The only thing you find on TV right now is negative stuff. Am I right or wrong? I ain't making it.
You're right. You're right. We got president being indicted. We got the people getting thrown out. We got riots. We got all this stuff going on to just bring nothing but negativity and stress and strife, you know. But the beautiful thing, you said it before, we walk around in defeat. We walk around like we are subject to this craziness of the world, and we're subject to all the things that everybody else is going through, the worries of the economy, the threats of war. We act like we're subject to those things, but you know what? We have been saved from that, right? And you talk about resurrecting. That's what we need to resurrect. We need to resurrect that spirit of salvation so that sacrifice, right, that Christ made on today, on this Good Friday, that death that he made, that he accepted, right, that sacrifice does not in vain. It is for us to be saved from that sins. and the stress and the strife that comes with it. So you're right. We walk around in defeat when we need to be walking around in our resurrection.
It's that victory that he's already given us, and we just don't want to feel it. But I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. And I challenge everybody, understand this. It's not about how you feel. We find in the scripture that Jesus is like, hey, dear God, if you can let this cup pass from me, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be all right, right? I don't believe that that's what he really wanted to do. And you know what? I wouldn't blame him. We are sinful people. I feel like Jonah sometimes. Anybody who ever read the book of Jonah? Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He wasn't trying to go to Nineveh and say, hey, God said y'all need to repent. No, he wasn't trying to go do that. Why? Because he knew that the prophets there had gone before him. What happened to them? They were all stoned. They were all killed.
Right.
But Christ didn't do like Jonah. He went willingly. God didn't have to change a whole bunch of things. Like Jonah had to jump through hoops to go do his thing because he kept running. And I always say it's easier to just do the right thing as opposed to figuring out a way to skirt the system. But the point I want to make with all that is this. I want to encourage everybody, you know, yes, it's Good Friday. Let it be a Good Friday. It's okay to go and pray and have a good time. It's Friday night. I get it. But don't walk out of these prayer services the same way you walked in. When you go to church, all right, if you got a problem, go. When they say take it to the altar and leave it at the altar. Go put it down. Let's stop carrying around this extra baggage. Stop being deceitful to one another. It's okay. You got personal stuff that other people should know. That's fine. You did some things that people should know. I, for one, can tell you I had to put a lot of stuff on the altar. I had to learn how to forgive me because, see, I didn't know that God had already forgiven me. I was carrying this mess around for years and years and years and years and years, but God had already forgiven me. Listen to me. You can't forgive yourself, but Christ died for all of your sins, not for some of them, not for the little ones, not for the sins that everybody knows about, but he also died for the ones that nobody knows about, you know. And then the resurrection, you know, he was the gap. He bridged the gap between us and God. Without Christ, we couldn't be close to God. We couldn't have a one-on-one relationship with God. So I want to encourage everybody to resurrect your personal relationship with God. That's what I want to do. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little excited. I want to be happy. I want to talk about something else, but I can't because I just know that somebody needs to understand our hard times. It ain't for us. I always say this. It's not for us. Like Jason, you know, I got diagnosed with cancer, right? Right?
Right.
And I'm not. And I don't know, maybe it just haven't hit me yet. Maybe I'm that guy that lives in the clouds sometimes, and somebody to bring me down. But, you know, it's horrible when you think about it, but it ain't about what it sounds like or what it feels like. It's about how you go through it. And I choose
exactly.
to go through it. I choose to go through it relying on the one that can. Yeah, I'm going to do what the doctor tell me. Don't get it twisted. I'm not going to go out here and act like I'm a doctor. I know, but I'm going to go through it with the one that can get me through it. And no matter what the outcome, I know that I love God. Some of us don't have unconditional love, but we serve a God who loves us unconditionally. And we need to learn to serve and to love him unconditionally. And so on this Resurrection Sunday, when you get there on Sunday, when you get to church, if you got some mess, you take it with you. Take it with you. Please just pack your bags, make them heavy. If you need four suitcases, take four suitcases. But when you go to the altar, put all of them out there. Don't listen, open up the suitcase, dump the stuff on the ground, let God have it because he wants to know it all anyway. He already knows it. Dump it there, leave the suitcase, and when you go back to your seat, I guarantee you, you're going to feel lighter, right? You're going to feel better. You're going to feel more motivated to help other people dump their junk, right? You're going to feel it. And Resurrection Sunday, this is what it's about. It's not about the hype. It's not about the glitz and the glam. No, Resurrection Sunday is not, in my opinion, Resurrection Sunday is about us renewing, allowing the Spirit of God to renew within us and to resurrect us as people, as beings, so that we can continue to push his message. Jason, I know we only got a few minutes, and I got a little carried away, but you got anything you want to add to this? I appreciate you being on with me tonight.
No, I just think when you talk about this Resurrection Sunday and allowing God to renew you, and just like Christ did, it's then to start to walk out in that renewal. And you said something when you said we don't need to walk in defeat anymore, right? This is what
That's
they're
right.
speaking of now. We never have to walk in defeat, right? And I'll tell you, it's been a blessing to watch you walk through what would defeat most people. A cancer diagnosis for most people is the end, but for you, it's just been the beginning. And to watch you walk out in that victory is just something that blesses my heart. And I encourage everybody to do the same. Walk in the victory that's already been given. On this day, the sacrifice that was made by Christ for that victory. And then in 2 days from now, the resurrection that confirmed that victory, that's what we walk in. So let's take this weekend to walk in that victory, to embrace that victory, and then let Sunday be the start of a great journey of walking that victory out.
Oof. I'm telling you, I get all excited when new things is coming, right? Right? I get excited. I just love it. I love it. I love God's people. And I really love people who are so humble, who just don't believe that God has forgiven them. I really love to interact with my brothers and sisters who feel like they've just been done too much. I love it because I like to tell them, you ain't done enough. God wants you. I tell people all the time, you can test God if you want to. You're like, I can test God? Yeah, you can test God. Go right ahead. And if you want to, I don't feel like I need to. Why? Because he passes the test every day when he wakes me up. He passes the test every day when I need $50 and I ain't even know where it's going to come from and somebody just give it to me or some work comes up and I just earn it. He amazes me every day. I don't have to question God. So hopefully that we help somebody this weekend, Jason. I want everybody to understand that God loves you. And so do we. We're going to keep on praying. And when you leave church on Sunday, I want you to come out just like Christ. All right? When the people are going to come to your house when you get home from church or when you get home from whatever worship, and you're going to open the door and they're not going to recognize that you are there. You are there. So with that being said, y'all know how we do about this time, right, Jason? You know what we say. Thank you for tuning in. This is Mr. Cedric. This is Jason. Thank y'all so much. Relentless pursuit. Find something you love. Embrace it and chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. God bless you. We love you. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Sister Kim, if you will.
Come on, come on. up your mouth. Come on. You gotta say something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, hey.
Get the word out. It's the word. Yeah, yeah.